This is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessing is upon your people. Again, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on the word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess we might say thanks to Adam, or because of Adam, we live in a world of troubles. All kinds of troubles. Big ones, little ones, medium ones. Ones that we deal with easily, some that we don't. Those kinds of things. Excuse me. There are things that we will consider to be troubles in our lives, that some people will, that are really minor and petty in their nature. I mean, sometimes you can have trouble with a broken shoestring. It happens. Sometimes, you know, you just missed out on that parking space. And that's troubling. That's a trouble to me. Can't get that parking space that I wanted. See, these are petty and little things. Some of the things that we have to deal with, obviously, are more significant than that. Some of these trials are genuine trials. Sometimes we have pressures that are placed upon us to accomplish things, and we can't afford to do it. The funds are just not there. And that's disrupting in our lives. That's troubling to us. Sometimes we have difficulties in our employment. There are people that we can't get along with. Now, I know that never happens, right, Sandy? That never happens in the workplace. Everybody gets along, and it's all kumbaya. Everybody's loving each other. And now, sometimes in the workplace, there will be people who go out of their way to make your life miserable. And that's a definite significant trouble. Sometimes these more difficult things are more difficult to deal with. And yet you still have to carry on. You have to go about the business of taking care of that. David was experiencing real troubles. Charles Spurgeon said, "Troubles come in flocks, and sorrow has a numerous family." I said, "Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate that word." Yeah, didn't need to be reminded of that. But see, the great Prince of Preachers wants to deal with this situation a little bit. Sometimes the troubles that we deal with, sometimes the troubles that we encounter are the result of our own sin. Sin has consequences. We have God's faithful promise to forgive. But forgiveness doesn't necessarily remove the effects of sin. A drunkard may be forgiven his drunkenness, but a lifetime of drinking is going to damage a liver. And the forgiveness of sins is a beautiful thing, But God doesn't guarantee to restore a liver. You know, that, those are the kind of things. Sin has consequences. And David is experiencing some of those things. By and large, when we look at the life of David, we see the life of a godly man. We see a young man who grew up taking care of his father's flock, writing psalms to Almighty God to sing and play along on his harp. We look at David and see that, you know, boy, you know, you know, we sing only the boy named David, you know, kind of a thing. And all, it's all good. But David had committed some grievous sins in his life. You see there, even the best of us have sin natures. The best of us will falter from time to time. David, when he did it, he wanted to make sure he went in a big way. You know? It's like, you know, you never saw David going down to the convenience store and heisting a candy bar. Nah, that's lost. You never saw David cheating on his taxes, you know? I mean, that's out of the way. You don't see that. No. What did David do? He commits adultery. And not only does he do that, it catches him because Bathsheba becomes pregnant. See, that's not one of those things that you just walk away from. There's a trail that you've left behind. So David has an ingenious plan to commit murder. Well, why not? You know, if you're gonna, you know, break the seventh commandment, you might as well break the sixth, right? Let's do them all. And so he arranged for Bathsheba's husband to be killed in the battle. And in so doing, he could go then and marry Bathsheba, and everything would be covered up. Nobody'd be the wiser. Well, as we've talked about this before, and you got to wonder, did David's conscience bother him in that instance? You better believe it. A man who has a relationship with God can commit sin like that and not have an effect. The conscience absolutely will be pricked. The conscience absolutely will stir you to do something. What did David get stirred to do? Forget about it. David, it was one of those situations where this is an act of rebellion. And it's like, have you ever done that? Have you ever committed a sin and knowing full well that what the scripture says about going to God and confessing it, you say, I can't go to God. I can't go talk to him about this. Excuse me. We say, even though we know the truth, we say, I can't go to God with this. This is too much. He's not going to understand. It's we play it up much bigger than it is. Not that it's not big anyway. But we do have in it, within our nature, the ability to just forget about it. Now, it's difficult at first, but the longer that it goes, the easier that it is. And, you know, it probably bothered David a lot for a month. But then he started living his life, doing the things that come naturally, you know, to a king. I mean, you know, you got kingly business to take care of. And you're not thinking about all this stuff. And time goes by, and it doesn't make a big impression at all on your mind. Yeah, there's a memory there. There was something. Obviously, Bathsheba's in the house now, so there's a reminder that something had occurred at one time. But, you know, it's, okay, she's just another wife. I can't even comprehend that. You know? Just another wife. Yeah. And God, though, what did God do? He looked at David. David, who, was like the apple of his eye. David, who had been a faithful servant of God. The Almighty did with David what he does to every single one of us. He says, those that he loves, he chastens. Ouch. We don't like that. Well, in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, God sends the prophet Nathan to speak to David. And Nathan comes in and he tells David a story. And it's the kind of story that when you hear it, ticks you off. It's a story of injustice. And it aggravates. And it's like we hear stories like that, and unfortunately, there's not much that we can do. Because look at us. We're just wee people in the land. We have elected leaders who do foolish things and don't listen to the people who put them continually back into office. That kind of thing. Nathan comes to David and he says, you know, there was this guy and a sacrifice. And he had his huge flock of sheep, and they were beautiful sheep. They were great sheep. And he could have taken any single one. But instead he saw the neighbor who only had one little lamb. And he said, I'll take that one. And David was infuriated when he heard that story, and he meant to do some retribution. She said, something is going to happen here. I want to know about who this guy is. And Nathan said, to the king, it's you. You're the guy. You're the one. And David's heart was crushed. Because he knew. It all came back to him. In full force. He knew what he'd done. And he was grieved. Did God forgive David? Absolutely. And we read the 51st Psalm. The 51st Psalm is David's prayer of repentance. And we know that God forgave him. But there were consequences for the sin. So David, your child's going to die. Your child is going to die. What's more, there's always going to be turmoil at your house. The sword is never going to leave your home. And he told him, again, in that same chapter in 2 Samuel, 12:10, he says, do you know why? Because you despised the Lord. It's important to hear that word. Because it doesn't matter what the sin is that we commit. It doesn't matter if it's a great big thing or if it's a little thing. Maybe it's just a little bit of gossip. Maybe it's just a little bit of bickering back and forth. It doesn't really matter, you know, to most people. The sin equates to despising the Lord. And if you're a Christian, that better affect you. That better have a significant ringing in your ears. These are happening, David, because you despise the Lord. Some of the greatest adversity that David would ever experience in his life came right out of his house, his own house. In the 15th chapter of 2 Samuel, it says that the conspiracy grew strong against him. Are we aware in our day of conspiracies growing strong against anybody? I will tell you this morning, the conspiracy grows strong if you have the name of Christ associated with your name. Christians are being at this very hour set up to be the fall guys for all the world's problems. Believe it. It's conservative Christians that are responsible for all these mass shootings. I'm telling you, that's a word that's being put out there. Even though not a single one was done by a Christian. But this is the propaganda that's being put out, that's being spread. And you need to be aware of it. You need not be frightened of it. But you do need to be aware. Our faith, our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as he said, you know, use your mind. Don't be ignorant. You know, renew that mind. While many would turn against David, his son Absalom was going to attempt to steal the kingdom. Let me ask you this. What greater grief can a parent experience than to have their own child turn on them? Is there a greater pain that can be experienced by a parent? I don't think so. When one that you've brought into this world